We're CJMQ, and today we're talking with Robin McKell. Now, very exciting. Robin is coming to Centennial Theater on the campus of Bishop's, and that's going to be happening this Saturday, November 6th. So, very excited about that. And now, I'm reluctant to say you're a jazz artist because your latest album, it's not just jazz, right?
Well, it has some jazz influence in there, but it's definitely more on the blues and soul side of jazz. So I have a background in jazz, and my first two albums are more traditional swing music. But like you said, this one is a little bit more influenced by artists like Ray Charles and Etta James, and so the music has a little bit more blues and soul in it.
Okay, interesting. Now, this is your third album. You released your first in 2006, introducing Robin McKell. In 2008, it was Modern Antique, and your latest one is called Mess Around?
That's right.
Okay, interesting. Now, you were saying that the latest album has some rhythm and blues on it, and I was reading that it has a 60s flavor.
Yeah, I think more of the... it has a late 50s and 60s flavor to it, for sure. There's definitely some contemporary sounds on it as well, but the idea was to kind of approach it in that, with the approach of the music from the late 50s and 60s, like I said before, with the Ray Charles kind of a vibe. And I really, I feel very connected to this music, because it's similar to the music that I grew up listening to. So I feel like I've kind of come full circle in what I'm doing, and starting here and then going into the more straight ahead traditional jazz approach, and then kind of coming back around to this combination of the two.
Okay, good. Now, you were influenced by your mother, who sang in the church choir. Now, at the age of 15, you started actually joining some rhythm and blues groups.
That's right. Okay. While I was studying more classical and music theater repertoire during the week, because I went to a sort of a performing arts high school, on the weekend I would go out and I would do gigs with, you know, this R&B and pop cover band, and so I was a dancer and a singer and got a lot of experience on the road and in front of, you know, large audiences from a very young age. So I'd be singing all the Aretha Franklin tunes on the weekend, and then I'd go back and do my arias during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a bit of a two opposite ends of the spectrum there, but it really helped me to learn my voice and to see what I could do with my voice from a young age.
That's neat. You do have a lot of experience studying music, and you taught music too.
Yes, I graduated from from Berklee College of Music, and then after I lived in Los Angeles for a couple years, I moved back to Boston, and I taught there for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason why I actually am here where I'm now is because of my students. You know, I had some great students, and you know, I just kept telling them every day, you know, just go for it, and you know, don't lose faith, and go for it. And finally, one day I was driving home, and I thought, okay, I need to follow some of my own advice. So I actually ended up doing that and just said, you know, I'm gonna leave my job. I'm going to leave the band that I was with and really go for it. And luckily, everything kind of came together after I recorded Introducing. It doesn't always happen like that, but I feel, because I put that energy out into the universe, that it came back to me somehow. So
definitely, yeah, your own message came back to you.
Yeah, I think it does more than often in our lives. I see this happen, you know, with lots of things in my life, and I'm sure it happens this way for others as well. So hopefully, those good celestial moments, like my mom likes to call them, they'll keep happening.
Good. Is your mom still living? Or?
Yes, she is. My parents, actually, they're going to be coming to the concert on Saturday, so it'll be great to have them there. They're going to be driving up from Rochester.
Oh, that's really nice. They must be so proud of you.
I think they are, and they're wonderful parents. They've always been very supportive, and they're great, so I'm excited to see them.
Good.
As well.
You also worked as a backup vocalist, too, before you kind of took a leap of faith, I guess.
Yeah, I've dabbled in lots of different musical experiences, and being a background singer was one of them. And although I enjoy singing backgrounds and I love singing with other great singers, I just felt while I was doing it, you know, that urge to be in the front and really to have the opportunity to connect with the audience mm-hmm. on a more, you know, more intimate way, in a more intimate way. So I left that and pursued my solo career.
Okay. Now, I was reading that you entered a competition, the Thelonious Monk competition in 2004 in Washington?
Yep.
Okay. Now, did this have something to do with helping you take that leap of faith?
Yeah, this was definitely a turning point for me.
Okay.
I really didn't, you know, I'd always worked in music, and I had, you know, always had a job, and was you know, I always worked hard to do my thing, but I kind of wasn't sure where I actually fit in, if I really had something different or special or if I was good enough. And
mm-hmm.
So I entered this competition, and I thought, you know, I'll never... At the time, I wasn't singing very much jazz at all. I was more making a living singing a lot of R&B and blues and pop music. And I entered the competition, and I ended up one of the finalists, and then semifinalist, and then a finalist, and then a winner. And I was just kind of shocked, actually, because I really went into it with no expectation. I just wanted to see where I fit in, you know. And
mm-hmm.
Some really influential artists were there, you know, Dee Dee Bridgewater and Kurt Elling and Al Jarreau and Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter. They were all some of the judges. And, you know, Kurt Elling and Dee Dee Bridgewater, both of them came to me after and just gave me this huge pep talk of, you know, you have to be out there and the world needs to hear you and just you got to do this. And yeah, I really, it really encouraged me, and I guess I felt, you know, these are some artists that I had looked up to, and they really encouraged me to do it, and so I felt like, okay, well, if they're saying that, then hey, you know, I'm gonna go for it. So I really, it was a great experience.
Good, excellent. So the same message that you were giving your students, but on a different level.
Yeah.
Good.
There it is again.
True. Now, there's some covers on the new album, but some of the songs you wrote too? Or?
Yeah, I've been writing music for quite a while, and this is mm-hmm. the first album. I put one of my original songs on the second album, but this is kind of a departure for me and something that I want to do more of. I've been writing music a long time, and so it was important for me to add more of my compositions to the album. And so Mess Around, the title track, is a song that I wrote. Some people think it's the Ray Charles, the Mess Around, but it's not. It's my original version of my own song called Mess Around, but is definitely influenced by, you know, like that style, that kind of retro, you know, soul blues kind of a vibe.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, and that's the lead track, too, on the album.
Yeah.
Good. How many songs are on the album?
Oh my gosh, I haven't even looked at the album info. I think there are 10,
okay.
Maybe 11. I think 11. I recorded it such a while. I feel like a long time ago. It was almost 2 years now.
Okay.
And I honestly haven't listened to the record since I was finished mixing it, because you hear it so many times, you just mm-hmm. finally decide, okay, I can't hear it anymore. But four of the songs are originals. I think there are 10 tunes on there, and the rest are, there are a couple pop cover songs. There's a Leonard Cohen tune mm-hmm. that I totally rearranged, and a Beatles tune, and Cry Me a River from the American Songbook. So there's kind of an eclectic mix of tunes.
Yeah, and also Lennon and McCartney too, the Bee Gees.
Yes, a little Eleanor Rigby, which is totally different.
Yeah.
I like to take something that's familiar and kind of defamiliarize it, kind of, you know, and see what I can do with it, and see how far I can push those limits, I guess.
That's a lot of fun.
It can be. It can also be a disaster.
I guess
but,
things, yeah.
Yeah, we aim for the fun part.
Good. Now, you're backed by some interesting musicians, too. Fred Wesley.
Yes. Fred is.
Yeah.
Fred did a couple arrangements for me. And for the listeners who aren't familiar with him, he was the main arranger for James Brown and his band. And so he's been around many years, and it was a real pleasure to work with someone who is just, he's, you know, he's worked with everyone. He's an amazing person, great writer, great player. And I actually got to do a concert with him as well, which was really fun. And we're going to be doing a couple more concerts together. So the collaboration has led into performing together, which is my favorite part of doing this.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. A lot of well-rounded musicians, too, on the album there. So that's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
Now, right now, you're in Europe, are you? In Paris?
Yes, I'm actually in Paris tonight.
Okay.
So I can't complain. I have a great view of the Eiffel Tower. And, and I'm leaving tomorrow for Canada. So.
Good. So this is an exclusive performance at Centennial, if I understand right.
Yeah, that's right. And we have one show in the U.S., and then I actually come back to France because I've got a tour starting in November for 2 weeks. I'll be on the road with all the guys from the whole record, so the horns and everything. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Wow, and you were in London, too?
Yeah, we just played in London about 2 weeks ago, and I hadn't been there in a couple years, so that was a good time. And then I had a couple shows in France, and so now I'm just doing some promo and resting and getting ready for my trip tomorrow.
Good. So Centennial Theater, that's on the campus of Bishop's University, and that's Saturday, November 6th at 8 p.m. Adults, $31. If you happen to be a senior, it's advantageous in this because it's only $18. Students with an ID, also $18. So how do you deal with all the jet lag and going from place to place? How do you deal with that?
That's probably the most difficult thing for me. I think I still haven't really gotten used to the traveling, the amount of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I'm really trying to work on is bringing the, you know, just kind of going with the flow, because traveling is not very much fun anymore these days. It's pretty hard, and I don't know if you ever really get used to it. I haven't gotten used to it yet, and the jet lag, I guess you just gotta go with it. You have to try to get on schedule right when you get to the place that you're going, which can mean trying to keep yourself awake when you're exhausted, or vice versa. So It's one of the most difficult things of being a singer and being on tour, and you know, this life of being on the road. The traveling is pretty it's not very much fun, and I don't really know anyone who loves it, but I really don't like it a lot. So I do some reading, I listen to music, and I try to go to another place in my mind.
Good. Where is home now? Is there a specific place? Or?
Actually, I grew up in Rochester, New York, which is in upstate New York.
Okay.
And after living in several places, I've been on the road for a while, I bought a house near my family in Rochester. So when I'm off the road and off tour, I can actually just relax and spend some time with my family. My parents and my sister lives there, and so that's something I really never thought I always wanted to do, but I'm really fortunate to be able to have that now, because when I work now I travel, so I can have a house in a small little city like that, as to where before I wouldn't be able to do that because I wouldn't be able to support myself singing in a place like that. But so that's kind of my home right now, other than my trusty suitcase.
That's good. That's important to have a place where, you know, you can come and relax, a familiar place. So good.
Yeah.
Now, you have a website?
Yes, it's robinmckell.com, and I'm on Facebook and MySpace, but I guess MySpace isn't really cool anymore, so Facebook is the hip thing now. But you can find me on the web at, you know, robinmckell.com. And there's music and info there and all the shows and all that good stuff.
Good, great website. And Mckell is with an E at the end, R-O-B-I-N,
right.
M-C-K-E-L-L-E. Good. So any other specific plans? Or?
Well, after I finish up my tour in November, I'm going to just be on a little break, you know, for the holidays, kind of relax. And then I actually go back on tour January, February, March, so always working.
Oh, well,
but I find time for not working too.
Good, so that's great. Anything else you wanted to mention before we go, Robin?
No, I just hope to see everybody at the show, and you know, email me or whatever. Get on our mailing list and see if you can't make it, when the next time is, we'll be back.
Good, and if you come to the show, definitely you'll be able to buy the CD.
Yep, we'll have CDs and that good stuff.
Good. So that's on November 6th, is Saturday Centennial, 8 p.m., 819-822-9692. So thanks very much, Robin, and all the best to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.